tratou de vender o nome de uma menina que ele apoderou-se para o importante. Ele havia um interesse eu chamo com o Corna. O Yusuf wanted to welcome you and thank you for honoring this briefing. The briefing is really about giving an update about where the committee is in terms of the process and the steps the committee is going to take going forward in ensuring that it fulfills its mandate. Without any further ado, I will hand over to the chairperson to take us through.
Thank you very much, everyone. I must say that your interest in this position has been enormous, and I think it's very good for our own democracy. And I just want to extend my appreciation as well to all those people that have managed to nominate. And obviously, as you know, the ad hoc committee was established to nominate the person for the appointment of our protector, and thus far received 21 nominations and applications for the position of the public protector. The nominations were received include, among others, the current serving public protector and Advocate Julie Madonsela, as well as her deputy, Advocate Kevin Madonsela. Advocate Madonsela's name was nominated in spite of the legislative constraints, as you all know, which limit an incumbent to occupy its office for only one term. Name of all nominations and applications will be published in a week after the 24th June deadline. The names will be made public on Parliament, our website and social media platforms, and there will be an email address where people can send their comments or objections. When sending their comments or objections, members of the public are encouraged to disclose their identity, as anonymous sources will make it difficult for the committee to verify the objections. The committee would also like to appeal to members of the public to supply CVs or contact details of a person they are nominating in order to allow the committee an opportunity to confirm acceptance of nomination and source the relevant documentation before the 24th June deadline. I must say, even at this point, that we actually have nominations that have come in from members of the public, but unfortunately we haven't, the person who is nominated has not said whether they are accepting the nomination or not. So we have now established a mechanism by which to get whether the person accepts the nomination or not. I have authorized staff to conduct the person who has nominated, as well as one who has been nominated, to indicate whether they are available for the position and the suppliers with their capital level of care. Once more, the committee would like to remind members of the public to ensure that they nominate their candidates, they must nominate prior to the 24th or on the 24th of June 2016. With 2016 being an election year, the committee is mindful of the hectic schedule of committee members, and as such, we will be flexible to shift some dates that were originally scheduled. In fact, right now we just felt that we were thinking that we could meet soon after 10 days from now, but it's very clear that it may not be possible because of a range of other political actors that are happening and some members may not be available. So the committee has thus far understood to ensure that shortlisting and interview processes will be conducted in time for the committee to table its prepared candidates to the National Assembly by the 31st August 2016. Further details of when exactly the committee will be meeting will be communicated in due time. I thank you very much for your interest.
That's a statement. Thank you, Chairperson. Colleagues, at this point, we are going to take questions. We'll take the two rounds. Because I think the statement is just explanation. we will start everything as okay, one game, fear, and feeling, human, so the forehead, so in that order, colleagues, just for the chairperson, I know you guys, but just for the chairperson, just your name in the meeting house, you are presenting. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Can I start, Nicholas? Yes. Jane Davis, I would miss you. Manjana, I wonder if you could just inform us where you received the letter from the Coalition of NGOs Search Corruption Watch wrote you requesting more time for public comment. Would you give any consideration to that? I think they asked for another week. And they also requested that the CVs of the nominees be made public, published on Parliament's website or furnished to them to make public. Can you tell us whether you've considered that request and what the position is?
Good afternoon. My name is Sharon Sana, I'm from the Independent Newspaper. So I wanted to know from the chair just two questions. One, who has nominated the public protector, the current public protector, Madam Zena? And when perhaps, and also to have an indication who are the other nominees other than Ted Malunga and Madam Zena who have been nominated? It was mentioned 21 days.
But do you know how many nominations did they do have to get? There's a lot of people wanting to continue. Yeah.
I'm gathering. Chantal from African Relations. The people that have made nominations, are they just individuals? Or do they have NGOs? Are they political parties?
Thank you very much. On the question of whether we've received the letter from the Corruption Watch, yes, we have. And they've requested the extension date for public comments. We have considered that matter. However, we felt that in as much as we would like to, there is no harm, basically, in receiving whatever comments that people may have before the actual shortlisting process, but would love to stick to the dates that we have, the timelines we have given. Whoever that may still wish to supply us with the information, they can also write to us if it's posted that day. It does nothing basically to the process. So and as long as it is before the shortlisting process, that information is going to be key. I'm mentioning the importance of speaking to the date because, you know, you want people to, you also want to have an opportunity to deal with those kinds of objections. If we receive the objections closer to the time of the shortlisting or maybe a day before the shortlisting process, you might actually find that we will not be able to do as well as sufficient. We won't have sufficient time to do a verification process of that objection. The other question that you wanted to know is around the 21 names that have been nominated and who has nominated those people. The nominations are largely, interestingly, we've received nominations that are coming from members of the public, largely. We haven't, if I'm not wrong, but we haven't received any nomination so far that is coming from a political party or an organization. And to me, I think it's also good because it kind of depoliticizes the process in a way. We've received the very interesting nominations, and I must tell you, this committee is going to have a very difficult time in deciding who is going to be shortlisted because almost looking at the qualifications of those people, of all the people that have already been nominated thus far, they are all very competent individuals. And we are going to have to manage that process very, 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 very carefully and ensuring that in the process, you know, we don't end up, you know, telling people that are very important that would probably be making this office more effective. The other people that have applied, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to tell you who are the other people that have applied. We were just telling you about Advocate Numa Zazela because obviously, legitimately, you know, we think that we want to know whether people have nominated her. And we think it's a good thing that people have indicated that they would have loved it to continue, but unfortunately, as you know, the Constitution does not allow that. She only serves for 7 years term, and it is not renewable. And the advocate Malula has also mentioned her because she's the current incumbent, she's a deputy. We are mentioning her because many people would be wondering whether, you know, there has been an appetite along those lines. And we are saying, yes, we have received that nomination from that one. The rest of the people we are going to have, I'm going to see that I have my members of the committee here. I don't want them to accuse me that, yeah, you see, you announce people who have been nominated before, you know, we give you the mandate that we have. So I'm not going to be able to tell you who else has been nominated, and please just accept that. Thank you. We will tell you when we shortlist. By the end of next week, we should be knowing everyone that has applied or that has been nominated because we'll post that in our website, the parliamentary website. So you will know exactly who has been nominated and who has not been nominated.
I think we are covered. I'm taking another round, colleagues. Is it a follow-up case?
If the chair could just respond to my question about the CV, because those are going to be touched on parliamentary touch as well as that.
I am so sorry about that. Regarding the CVs, we feel strongly that there has to be consent from the candidates themselves. However, it is a legitimate expectation for members of the public that if you are applying for a position of public protector, you should be open to public scrutiny. Your CV should not be a public record, it should not be a secret record, it should be a public record. But what we would want to do, because we also want it to be, we want to ensure that this process is fair, not only to the members of the public, but also to those who have been nominated. We would actually be writing to them requesting their consent to make sure that, you know, to get their consent that their CVs be published. But we do not expect that there will be problems. However, there is information that may be of personal nature, and we do not think that we should be putting it to the public. Some people may not want you to know about the number of dependents they have, their state of health. You know, there are quite a number of professional information that we get in the CV. That is why we need to make sure that in our process of making sure that this process is transparent, we do not violate their rights as well to privacy, especially to donators that are really strictly private in nature. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I hand to Paul, Paul Alastair and the President, I think there was a question about how many people that nominated the serving public protector. And if we can deal with that one, and then we
you know, for me, right now, it's going to be very difficult for you to tell you how many people have nominated the public protector or have nominated Advocate Malula. That reason being that we've received nominations and the information that I had to process this morning was the information that was just upgraded that's giving me, you know, that these are the people that have been nominated. And again, I think we also wanted to make sure that I don't have an advantage over the members, the other members of the committee. I don't want to be seen to be already processing the information and selecting whoever I think is desirable or not desirable. So basically what I can tell you is that they have nominated, but I'm not able to tell you exactly how many people have actually nominated her. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, Chair. Paul Vickyarper from Bloomberg. Will the CV's information be subject to verification to make sure that the information supplied by people is correct? And will they also be subject to security checks from the public protector, those who deal with a lot of information, by the security agencies?
Participation process seems to just turn into a formality of crossing the T's and dotting the I's. What assurance can you give, especially now in light of your remarks about the letter corruption watch, what assurance can you give that this public participation will actually be in fact meaningful? And then also, can you maybe give an indication as to whether there is an MP nominated among those that have nominated?
Marianne Martin, Daily Merrick. It's clarification. The deadline is this Friday, I believe. Why would the names of those who applied and nominated not be made available Friday after 5 o'clock? Why did you say sometime next week? Then exactly what will happen? Is it going to be a simple press statement to say X, Y, Z have been nominated and nothing more than that before you get to, I think it was in the middle of July when you discussed the shortlisting? And I would like to just ask you to perhaps elaborate around your concerns regarding the CVs and issues of privacy, where you included issues like state of health and attendance in matters of privacy. Given the position of the public protector, why would one be so sensitive around these things? Certainly if you apply to be a judge, your CV, including your ID number, including the number of defendants, including all sorts of things, are made public. If you take your mind back to the two recent processes that the Chief Justice's head of panel in terms of candidates to fill the IEC vacancy, all the applicants, whether they were successful or not, all of their CVs were publicly available to the fullest extent, even home addresses and telephone numbers. So I'm thinking IEC is a Chapter 9 institution, public protector is like, why these sensitivities? And the other thing that I just wanted to also find out is this. No, don't worry. Thank you.
Okay, let's start with Bloomberg. The CV, the verification process is going to be twofold. We are going to have our own verification process, which is going to be done by the team that's supporting the committee. And basically, that process is very difficult, especially in assessing the different proper assets of the public protector or the candidate public protector. So we will do that, but there will also be the vetting that will be done by the appropriate state security agency, and that is done to all positions of this nature. So that will be done by the appropriate state security agency. So that is going to happen. Regarding the participation process, I just want to let you know that really it's not going to be about, it's not about picking boxes and that kind of thing. And part of the reason why I have disclosed it to you that the people that have been nominated, I know that it's going to be very difficult for the committee to decide, because it was a very good nomination. I mean, judging by what we have on the information that we have. So I'm merely saying it's not just about picking boxes. And we also are going to seriously consider issues of financial constraints, because as I said, I was talking to the team and I was saying to them, you know, it would have been very good if we're going to have an opportunity to actually engage with each one of these people that have already been nominated, the 21 of them. But obviously, there are financial constraints that also have to take into account, and that really does not rush with me as the chair of the committee. It rests with the other authorities, the House Chairperson, the Speaker, and so forth. So we need to, you know, that we've looked at, we've considered some of those issues, and obviously these are issues that we think are very important. And once more, I am assuring the members of the committee that this is not about picking boxes. It's very important for us to remember that public participation is the condition of this democracy. And it's important that even as we appoint, because ultimately, out of all the people that we have nominated, only one person will be given the opportunity to win that position. But we must satisfy ourselves that we've done everything in our power to get the best person out of all the best that we have possibly, you know. So I think it's important to mention that. Now, you're asking me about why sometimes I speak regarding the availability of CV. You know, we need to capture this information. The data has to be captured. And also, I want also to ask to tell you, assure you that the information that is going to be in our website is not just going to be the main training and that you have applied. No, we are going to have the qualifications, the experience, and so forth. The reason why we are exercising a bit of caution when it comes to, you know, public financing issues around the personal information, that is not necessarily going to be significant in deciding who gets the position of public protector. Like, I mean, the number of defendants, to me, really, I don't really think that that information is necessarily going to be relevant for us in terms of assessing the skills, the experience, the competency of the person that is applying. So I'm saying to you, if the medical candidate is giving us a green light, and please understand this, I say if the candidate is giving us a green light that we can make the information available, nothing will be censored. We are not going to expand that personal information, you know, dependent on the addresses and what have you. But it's just a process that we think is important that we get their own, you know, to get their land. And as I said earlier on, if you are applying for this position of public protector, you must understand that you are subjected to public scrutiny. And yes, maybe other people might come and say, no, we don't want that. And obviously, that may actually count in their, may not count in their favor, because people will start asking, why are you not being open about this information? So I'm saying, the only thing that I'm saying is that we want to get the consent of them. When it comes to the public, to the personal information, like I said, especially in respect of, you know, number of dependents or their health, they have issues, their health status and what have you. Those are the kind of things that, those are the kind of areas that I think we need to be careful of. But otherwise, all the other information, as much as possible, is made available. We are not going to be censoring any information. I'm not sure if I've covered all the questions, but
you have checked, I think there's but one, the one that
wants to know whether there is an MP that has been nominated.
Oh! Well, the good news is there's no MP section. So I think that so far there is no MP that has been nominated. And but you, as you know, they can be nominated. And remember, it's still early days to say whether MPs are going to be nominated or maybe they are not going to be nominated. Who knows? Maybe the advocate, for example, she's been nominated. We don't know. Maybe the nomination is still stuck on the name somewhere. So I'm sorry, it's still early days to say whether there are nominations, MPs will be nominated. That's far no, but we will only be able to tell after the 24th. Thank you.
Colleagues, I think if there's no other questions, can
sorry, just a bit of clarity, because the chair did mention something about the elections and about circumstances and about whether the committee is going to be able to follow the timeline that you made public in May. Can you just clarify for me? I just want to know whether those dates, that timeline is still very much in place.
The timeline that has been communicated to you is that we are going to have the interviews after the elections. That's it then. We've also communicated with you that we will be taking the report to the House by the day. That still stands. What is going to be impacted during this process is the shortlisting process, because we also have to get members there in different places. And that's not, we are not now, as much as possible, we are sensitive, we are aware of what is happening around the country. And other members may not be available because of a range of other reasons during this process. We want to get the date where all the members are going to be present. And I must stress this is a multi-party process. And therefore, since it is a multi-party process, as much as possible, we want all the parties that are part of this committee to be present when we are actually doing shortlisting, so that they also have their voice and their heads and their own views are taken into account. So it's important that you ask this question again, that you know, it's just this process that we're talking about between now and the 3rd of August. You know, obviously, I mean, we are politicians after all. You know, people are going to be involved in some campaigns and so forth. And we have to be realistic about it. That is why we are not going to be definite to you to say we are going to shortlist especially by the, you know, by the 30th of July or something like that. We can't say that. We need to check the availability of members. Thank you.
All right, colleagues, once more, thank you very much for planning this video conference.